Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you, but I'm also really looking forward to talking about our topic today because it is one of my favorite topics. So today we're going to be talking about branding, but specifically about niche branding and how you can build a breakthrough business if you know how to do it right. So our expert today is going to show you how to do it right. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Malika Malhotra is the brand CEO. She's an award-winning brand strategist, mentor, and speaker for female entrepreneurs. After years of working in corporate advertising on brands like L'Oreal, Oil of Olay, Malika now helps women get clear on their brand message, find their power niche, and build their business empire. Her friends and clients call her the brand energizer because she is a strong believer in getting out of your comfort zone, taking action, and implementing ideas. I'm so excited to have her here. I talk about all those things. She is stepping into my zone of what I love to talk about. So thank you so much, Malika, for being here with me today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you, I think a lot of times people are hearing about branding, right? But I think a lot of times people think that branding is so many different things. Like if we asked 100 people, like they would all come up with different things, right? A lot of people think it's your fonts, your color, your logo, your this, your that, right? So one of the things I feel like I would love to get clear on first is what is the difference between your brand and branding? So that way everybody knows what we're talking about so they can get really clear on. So in your opinion, what is the difference?
So I think branding is the actual strategy to tell your story, right? So this is how we're getting some depth in learning about who you are as a brand, who you are, who you serve, what do you believe in? Why does it even matter? The elements of the brand, the visual elements that people sometimes have a misconception of the logo, the website, these are all demonstrations of the actual brand strategy. What comes first, right? The chicken or the egg? Strategy must come first in order for you to have elements of your brand, the visual elements, the photography, all those things that are expressions of that to really work well and work powerfully. So there is definitely a distinct difference. People often think, oh, your brand, it's your logo, it's your Instagram feed. Those are kind of just the top line, more fluff. I don't want to say that they're invaluable. They're valuable, but they're not the depth and the plan and the strategy of how you're telling your story, how you're positioning yourself apart from the marketplace. So often I have to bring my clients back down to say, before you hire a copywriter, a web designer, a photographer, we first need to develop the story, the plan, right? You need to do that first because then the other things will work even harder for you if you get the plan in place. So for me, brand strategy is understanding who you are, how you're different, who you serve, and why it even matters.
I love that because I think for me, now I'm in marketing, right? So, I mean, this is peanut butter and jelly here. I feel like all of those other things are just like the assets that you use to really help other people to understand what your brand is, right? So we all know that we don't even really decide what our actual brand is. Our customer decides what our actual brand is. We give them all of the assets and how we show up, how we do all those things, but we're not authentic and we don't get the strategy right. Strategy is my favorite word. So I got to tell you, you're speaking my language here. If you don't have the strategy right, all of those other things aren't even going to matter because it's just not going to align. It's not going to come across as authentic and they're going to be confused and they're not going to know, like, really, what do you stand for? And what is it that you can do for me? So I really feel like getting really clear on strategy is super important. And I think that a lot of times people don't really understand that. They just always want to start because I know when they come to me, a lot of times they haven't figured out their brand and what they come to me for marketing. And they're like, oh, well, but I do have my logo and I do know that I love this font and I know that I want these colors. And they don't even realize sometimes that even when you're thinking about color, not that I really want to go into this deeply, but the fact of the matter is when you're doing it, there's a lot of things to consider. Like if you had a business that was a spa, you wanted a nice calming strategy. You wouldn't want your color to be like this huge aggressive red, because right, that color doesn't work for the experience and the feelings you want them to be. So there's a lot more into color besides what are your favorite colors, right? So
I think it's being intentional. It's being mindful. It's having a plan instead of being reactive. And often when we start in business, we are wanting to launch that website, wanting to get our name out there, wanting to pick the colors that we think represent us. But if we don't do that inner work and ask ourselves those hard questions, you often will find those businesses are shifting their websites, playing with a new message, changing their colors, revamping, rebranding, and they're in this hamster wheel because they haven't done the work of asking themselves those hard questions, looking at the marketplace to see where they can fit in, finding that niche so that they're more specialized versus being a generalist, right? And when you can get answers to those big questions, then your message is even stronger. Then your message is even more relevant and can resonate even stronger with your prospect and your ideal client.
I think that is absolutely true. Now, I really do kind of want to jump into the niche topic because I really love it. But I want to take one step back first, because I love that you're called the brand CEO. I love that. But when we are thinking about how you worked in corporate advertising on those brands, that is really great. But yet now you're choosing to work with women and entrepreneurs. Like, how did you get to where you were doing that? And what made you meander off of that to get to where you are now? I think I would like to hear your story.
Sure. Thank you. So after college and graduate school, I went straight into the corporate world and I was very interested in advertising and marketing, worked for big agencies and had the opportunity to work for big products like L'Oreal and Oil of Olay, 1-800-Flowers, even some restaurant chains. And so a lot of what I learned there of how to tell your story through a TV campaign, a print campaign, direct mail, point of purchase, all of those things, the fundamentals are the same. You have to know what you're good at, how you're different, leverage those strengths in your brand, in your story. You have to know who your ideal client is, how you're going to connect with them in a very deep way. And you're going to have to know and figure out in your story why it even matters. What are the values that you believe in? What is the mission behind the brand? Because that's what's going to attract people to you on a deeper level. And so I was learning those things on big corporate campaigns. And then as I left the corporate world due to becoming a mother and having a family and deciding then to do much more of an entrepreneurial journey for myself that had more flexibility and freedom for the lifestyle that I wanted, I thought I could use these skills that I learned in the corporate world, use them in photography because I do brand photography, and then also in brand strategy because I was working with female entrepreneurs and small business owners. All those things still mattered. It's about connecting with your audience. It's about telling impactful stories, right? And so all of those strategies that work for corporate actually work for us too as solopreneurs. And so I'm just taking those strategies I learned there, strategies I learned in my own journey, being an entrepreneur for 20 years and having all of the pivots and highs and lows as an entrepreneur. And now I offer them to my clients so that they can work harder, work smarter, have shortcuts, and not have to make the same mistakes that I may have made along this journey.
I love that. That's beautiful. Because I think that we all have a story. And just like you're saying that you can help us, right, do our story, look at how interesting your story is, right? So there were a couple things that I want to unpack in your introduction that I thought were really good. Well, of course, they were really good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you on my show. But I love the part where you're talking not just about branding, but really about the message, right? Messaging is so important. And it really does go in with story. Like you have to have the story before you can really talk about the message. So I want to talk a little bit about how important that message is. But I have to tell you, I really love what you said about a power niche, not just a niche, but a power niche. Right. So I have to tell you, let's kind of go there right now, because I think that is really important that you have to have the story that tells them what they need to know about you. Are you that person? Because right. For most of us in an industry, branding, marketing, there's millions of us, right?
Yes.
Why should they pick you? And I always like to call that, you don't have to reinvent ice cream. You just have to invent your own flavor, because some people still like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, but some people love waffle cones and chocolate sprinkles, and you just need to find the people who love those things, right? But even with that said, you still have to have a good message and really knowing who your audience is so you can have that niche, I think is important. But I can't wait to hear about the power niche. So
yeah, so let's talk first about what I call your brand brilliance, which is your story, right? And so I encourage all of you to take some time to really think about the skills you've acquired, the personal and professional experiences that you've had in the last 10, 15 years, the passions that you have, the things that rile you up, that make you lose track of time, or the values that you have, the things that you believe in, that you're willing to put a stake in the ground for, right? Your personality, who you are, your style, your vibe, all of these layers, all these things that I'm talking about, your perspective, your point of view is going to make your story have soul and depth, right? We are more than just a marketing person or a brand strategist. We have other layers. And if we don't unpack those layers and share with our audiences the things that we believe in, that we feel we're passionate about, previous experience that we've had, then we're not really creating a dynamic brand because there's so many layers to it. So I really spend time with my clients in figuring out all of those different parts of their brand story and seeing how if there is a common thread in there that we can lean into, that we can really focus and lean into so that they can differentiate from the rest. Then the second part is, now that you know what your story is, how does that relate to other people in your marketplace? What a niche that you can create for yourself, a specific audience maybe that you can speak to that no one's speaking to? Do you have an area of expertise that you can own that is different than maybe your competitors have? Do you have a solution, a methodology that you can brand that can help you be distinctive from the rest? So there's a lot of different layers in developing what your power niche is. And for those who might not be sure, niche, whatever it is, niche is really kind of this subgroup of a targeted market. So for example, you could be a graphic designer, right? But in that market, it's very saturated. So it's very hard to differentiate. But if you can have a niche of, I'm a graphic designer that specializes in book covers. And all of a sudden, you went from something very wide to something smaller. And you could be the queen of that smaller market and developing that niche. So here you have an area of expertise. You are very good at book covers. Second, you are getting specific in your audience. Now you're talking to authors. And now you're crafting that niche, which is more memorable. It's more referable. It's more findable. And it's more profitable. It could be more profitable. So I hope that helps your audience really understand what this is. Niche to me is having a specific solution to a specific problem for a specific audience.
No, I think that is really important too. And a lot of times people are really afraid to niche down. But the reality actually is that it actually costs you less to market to them, right? You can be very specific. You're very clear in the message. No, you're not having a broad message. Now your message is so much more narrow as well, because it's specifically targeted for that specific group. But also you're easier to find,
yes,
too, because now they're using those words to look for someone, right? So I think that on so many levels, having a power niche is really important. And I do know that sometimes it can be scary for some people to do it, right? I know it sometimes it really can be. I remember for myself, and sometimes when you niche, it's kind of a big one, like really doing a big one, like you're going from this to this, and it's like, wow, that's big. Sometimes it doesn't have to be as much, right? So for me, with what the questions, there are millions of people who do marketing, but I specialize in marketing and media. So there's kind of a differentiator for me. And my marketing company specializes in marketing specifically for women. And so somebody told me one time, so Patty, you just literally took care of 50% of the market right there. I said, I know, but you speak differently to women. Yes. And now I don't have to have my messaging be all across. I have 6 daughters. I come from a family of 5 girls. I like working with women. It is my specialty. And so I love it. And it was even hard for me several years ago to decide to be, I would say it.
Yeah.
But I had to get my brave on to want to put it on my website. But I actually feel like the minute I did, I actually got more business.
Yes. There's a lot of resistance because you think, oh, I can serve everyone and I have all the offers for everybody and I don't want to put myself in a box. But it is exhausting to serve everybody. 5 years, 6 years ago, I was a Jane of all trades. I was doing photography, seniors, children, brand photography. I was doing Instagram workshops. I was doing it all. And I was a Jane of all trades. And I call that era in my business the junk drawer business, right? Because I was doing so much. But it is not sustainable. And you are not getting paid what you would be as a specialist. Because now, since you're doing so many things, you're almost making yourself like a commodity comparing to everybody else. And so you really are going to position your business for success if you think about who you can niche down to. Is there a more specific audience? Can I own a zone of genius, an area of expertise, build my reputation around something? Can I streamline my offerings to have one or two core offers that I can get known for? Can I create a framework or methodology or something in my intellectual property that gets me known for something? And all of those things are going to help you build that power niche. And over time, you'll know that you get known for that one thing. And then you can charge top dollar for that because you've become the specialist and you are no longer a generalist. People will start seeking you out because you've put your stake in the ground for being a certain provider for a certain area with a certain expertise, with a certain solution for a certain target.
And that is the name of the game. And that is definitely what I would call power niche for sure. So let's talk about strategy. Let's get into strategy. I love it. So let's talk about strategy. So when we're talking about it, though, there are basics of niche strategy, right? So can you tell us a few things about basic niche strategy? So if somebody is thinking about doing it, maybe just did it, what are some of the basics they need to know? And then for those of you that are thinking, oh, I've already done that, then let's dive into a little bit more advanced strategies for that. And stuff, though, let's make sure that we take care of both sides of the equation so people can see this is kind of basic, but man, as you're leveling up, this is kind of really where it goes.
Yeah. So let's talk about like really how do you even find your niche, right? That's like the hardest part. So the first step I would take is you want to audit your own customer base. You want to look at your roster of clients and ask yourself, who did I love to work with? Who paid me what I was worth, right? Clients that actually didn't negotiate or lowball me? And who did I get the biggest transformation with? These are all breadcrumbs and clues to help you then get more specific in your audience. The second part is thinking about your area of expertise, right? We don't want to be a Jane of all trades. So you want to ask yourself, what do people come to me over and over again? Which one of my offers is actually selling out the most, right? So then it gives us another idea of where we want to lean into. So instead of doing all the things, we can cut the fat and get very focused. And often this data is already with us. We're just not doing the work to see it. The next is you want to look at the competitive marketplace, right? We're all in saturated industries. And is there an area that you can disrupt or innovate? Or carve as your own, right? We don't live in a bubble. We live with other competitors. So we want to see what that is too. And then the last piece I would say is you also want to trust your gut. We know kind of what we're good at. We're afraid sometimes of putting that stake in the ground and saying no and putting boundaries. But we need to trust that our gut, because we are in this for the long game. It's not like we're just doing these jobs. Really, we want to build this business for the long game. We want to be the authority, the expert in the industry. So people struggle with finding that niche, but those are the four things I would start off with is when you're trying to figure that out, do that work, do the audit, listen and see what people are already coming to you for. Look at the marketplace to see, are there gaps that you can kind of go into to create something new? And then lastly, listen to your gut. Like, how are you going to be the best version of yourself? What would you be doing? And use that as sort of a guide to help you figure out where that niche is.
I love that. So then once you ask yourself those questions, and those are really some great questions because I think people don't always realize it, but there's things that we do, certain industries or people that we work with that bring us so much joy, right? That you get up every day and you look at your calendar and you're kind of all happy that they're in your calendar. And then there are times, if you don't do this, that you get up and you look at your calendar and you're thinking, oh, right? Because it's not something or someone that brings you joy. I learned many years ago that I don't work with anybody that doesn't bring me joy, right? Because this is our business,
right?
Right? This is our business, our livelihood, but it's our life. And so life is just too short to work with people who like don't make you happy. So, and because there's so many people, it's not like there's a shortage of people. So really finding those right fit people is what I call them, really makes perfect sense. So once you do have those answers, because I think one of the things I would add to that is if you don't know the answers to that, the people who come to you all the time, ask them.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be really happy to tell you. Like, I remember that this word kept coming up all the time that people would describe me. And I just didn't feel like it described me. I was like, I don't think that's me. It took a while for me to step into it because it was a big word and it was visionary. And I was like, visionary. I knew I was creative. And so then I went to some people that I trusted and I was like, this word is coming up. Like, what do you think? And they're like, absolutely, Patty, that is so you. And you're such a visionary and how you're able to then break it down. So I had to step into that. So sometimes it may be bigger than you are right now. Like, you will feel like, oh, I can't step into that. But the reality actually is sometimes it is there. You're just thinking that you're not ready. And if you can just lean into it, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think sometimes you have to poll your audience. Sometimes you have to send surveys out to get their language, right? Of what they feel about you. What are the words that they're using? And another tip I would add is also look at your testimonials. Often you can find in the testimonials where your niche is because your clients, your community are already using the words of where they see your expertise, what you're really good at. And if you can go through your testimonials and write down all of those keywords and whatever you see is being repeated, that is where your zone of genius is. And so you might want to lean into that. You might want to own that. It's all about when you're thinking about your niche. And if we want to go like the 2.0 strategy is you have to commit to it. That is the biggest thing is you have to commit to it. And when I say that, it has to be on your website. It has to be in your messaging. You have to use it in your networking elevator pitch. It has to be consistently across the board where you're saying, this is what I'm an expert in. This is who I serve. This is what I do. You can't just have it up here in your head because no one's going to know that. You actually need to have it all across your marketing and all across your marketing and in your touch points. And it's going to take time. You can't just think it's going to happen overnight. It's going to take time after the commitment to see how things are going to change for your brand. So give it 3 months, give it 6 months and say, okay, I've decided instead of being a fitness trainer for just women, I'm going to be a fitness trainer for women going through menopause who can't lose the weight because of hormonal changes. And I'm going to learn about their pain points. I'm going to speak about their pain points on my website and every Instagram story that I do, on my LinkedIn posts, all across the board. And the more that you put it out there, the more repetition, that's how you build your reputation. That's how things are going to start unfolding for you as becoming the expert in that, because everything that you're doing is within that niche. So really committing is part of the process.
And again, it is a process. And I really like that because I remember when I came out and said I wanted to be a marketing expert for women, then it kind of evolved into women over 40, because that's what I really like working with, right? is women over 40. And it doesn't mean there's not always going to be an exception. Every year, I always have at least a few male clients, but they may serve women or they work with women or they're a woman-owned company, whatever the case may be. So it's not like if somebody really wants you, they won't find you, right? They absolutely will find you. That's all in your messaging as well. So it's not like, oh, you're committing to it, but it's not like it's your gravestone.
Yes, 100%. And I think that's the key here is we have a bullseye, right? We're trying to aim and target a very specific customer with a very specific area of expertise, but there are rings around that. Other people are going to be attracted to us. They might not meet the exact profile, but that's okay. Then it becomes our decision of if we want to work with them. But then our message is still simplified, right? It's still direct. It's still clear. We're not talking to multiple audiences. Because let's be honest, the more audiences that you're talking to, the more products that you're selling, you have like micro businesses. You have so many businesses and it takes energy and time to sell each of those businesses. And when you niche your business, you actually are focusing your time, you're focusing your energy, and you're able to have the sustainability. You're able to step into that area of expertise and feel really good about the work that you're doing, right? You're able to get top dollar because now you are the authority and the leader in the marketplace. And you're able to attract clients because they know exactly what you do instead of she does a lot of things, right?
Absolutely. And that's how your conversion is going to be higher too. So I know you talked a little while ago about risk, right? I know we get resistance to it and there's a lot of risk. However, it's really not as risky as we think. I think there's a bigger risk of something that you call bland branding. Now, I just love that phrase. What a great hashtag, bland branding. So let's talk a little bit about that.
So bland branding to me is you're blending in with everybody else, right? You are cookie cutter, you're a clone. And that is when your customers are now making their decisions based on price rather than something distinctive that you're offering, rather than maybe your personality or your results or your process. You're not sharing the specificities of your brand. And so you're just kind of bulking in with everybody else. And then what happens is bland brand has a message that's bland and boring and nobody remembers it. And then you wonder, why is it you hear crickets? Why is it that no one is booking your discovery calls? Why is it that you may have had one prospect, but they went to somebody else? It's because nothing is resonating. Nothing is rising above the noise. It is too generic. It is too simple. You want something specific that they can hold on to, right? And often when your brand is bland, you're attracting so many different clients. You're not attracting that ideal, dreamy soulmate client that you are meant to serve.
That's right. No matter what you do, who wants to be vanilla?
Yes.
Right? I mean, we just don't want to be vanilla. Again, back to the ice cream story, right?
Yep.
Even if they want vanilla, they may want vanilla in a waffle cone. They may want vanilla with hot fudge on the top. They may want vanilla. But if your brand is just vanilla all the way across, like they can go buy a book, right? Because we're not in the information business. Google's in the information business. We're in the transformation business, right? So that really matters. So let's talk about the business benefits of becoming a specialist, right? I think a lot of times people are scared. I feel like it is the thing to do, but you have to know what you want to be a specialist in. And I know a lot of times I have had people say to me, oh, you know what, Patty? I saw this thing and it sounds really good. I want to be a specialist at that. Now, that would not be the way to do it, right? Let's look at the techniques and what you just said and stuff. It's really important. Sometimes you will evolve into it in a way like you'll do this. We're always growing, right? We're always growing. And I think that even the most successful business owners and entrepreneurs that you're looking at going, oh, wow, if you ask them, are you now not money, if you're not talking about money, but are you now where you thought you were going to be? They evolved. They probably didn't know on one day. It's like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And here they are 30 years later and they're a millionaire and they never change from that. We all evolve, right? So I don't think they need to be that scared of it because it will just evolve through what you will learn and what your clients will tell you, right? And stuff though. But there are benefits of becoming a specialist from a business point of view. And so I think sometimes when people can think about what the business benefits are, it can take part of that risk away. So will you share some of those? Because I think that really helps them.
Yeah. So the first is you will make more money, Let's be honest. So think about the medical field, right? You have general practitioners who make money, but as you get more of a specialist, let's say you are a pediatric dermatologist who specializes in burns. Because they're so specialized, they have more training, they are going to be making higher salaries because they have that expertise. So the medical field is a good example of how you see this. When you become more of an expert, you're more sought after and they get higher salaries. That's just the way it is. And so in our businesses as entrepreneurs, we can have the same thing. If you become a specialist, you can charge top dollar because you are known as the authority and the leader and you're different from the rest. And when you start doing that, also you get more opportunities in your inbox. There are panels of speakers. If someone wants a speaker on niche strategy, because I've positioned myself as a niche strategy expert, my name is going to rise above other business coaches, brand strategists, right? It's just the name of the game because I put a stake in the ground for that. You can get press and publicity from that as well, because often when you're getting press, people want experts. They want leaders who have been doing this work and have this area of expertise. And so there's a lot of benefits that can come from that. And those are just financial, those are visibility benefits, but also internally, you just feel so good about working in your area of excellence, becoming a master. You no longer feel like a copycat. You no longer feel like an imposter syndrome. Often those things we feel as new entrepreneurs, right? You feel like a fraud. Those things are all put aside because you're not doing all the things. You're doing the one thing. You're staying in your lane. You are becoming a master. You are building your expertise. And now you feel much more confident.
I find that a lot of times when people want to use speaking as a strategy, they think that they just have to be a speaker. I'm a speaker. That's we hear it all the time. I'm a speaker. And during COVID, everybody became a speaker, right? Because they could get on Zoom and talk to a networking group. They were a speaker. But the fact of the matter is, we don't hire speakers. We hire subject matter experts. That's what we hire. A lot of people don't know that when they see all the time that SME, that stands for subject matter expert. So that's what people are looking for. They're looking to hire somebody who is a subject matter expert who can speak on that, not just somebody who can speak.
Right.
So again, that's almost like a niche strategy in itself. Don't just be a speaker, be a subject matter expert who is a speaker. And that's another way to elevate your income too.
Yeah. I mean, I always encourage my clients, like often they're just introducing themselves with their title. I'm a health coach. I'm a life coach. Well, so is everybody else. Let's be honest. So I'm a life coach who specializes in something, whatever that is, for whatever that specific audience is. Use that because now you're painting a picture in the audience's mind that is so much more clear than I'm a life coach. Well, what does that mean to me? I don't know who to refer to you, but if you say I'm a life coach for divorced women who are at a crossroads in their life and they are looking for love again after 50, I'm just throwing this out there. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a friend who just went through a divorce who happens to be 55 and is struggling. Now I know who to send to you. Finding your niche, knowing your brand inside and out, and being able to articulate it, even as simple as in an elevator pitch, is going to open the doors for people to want to get to know you more as a brand and maybe even hire you in the future.
Absolutely. This has been just absolutely fabulous. And you even came bearing a gift. So tell them a little bit about the gift.
Yes. So I would love to share with your audience my Ready, Set, Brand guide, which is your cheat sheet to brand clarity. So often branding, it takes time, it takes effort, and it feels a little bit overwhelming. And so what I've done is created a guide that gives you a very easy way to figure out your key brand statements, your mission statement, your vision statement, your positioning statement, and your business bio, all very important aspects of your brand. And so I've offered like a Mad Lib type fill in the blank to get you started to understand the core foundation of your brand. And so that is all part of this guide, which will hopefully help your audience in trying to figure out their brand story.
That is fabulous. And if you just look below, if you're listening, we will have the button right there for you to push to get that. But if you want more, and I have to tell you, this has been fabulous. So I know they're going to want to connect with you to learn more. How can they get a hold of you?
Yes, come visit me on my website, which is brand new. I just revamped it. It is malikamalhotra.co. And I'm sure you'll have that. It's hard to spell. So just look for the link below.
That's true. We'll have the link below. We'll make it nice and easy for you, nice and big, so that we can do that. So thank you so much for being here. But before you leave, I always like to have what I call open mic right now, where I always like to say, this is the Marketing Media Money Podcast. So even though you share so much with us, right? And I'm so thankful. What would you say would be your number one marketing media or money strategy?
So I would say that you need to stop serving everyone. You need to figure out your niche. We talked a lot about that today. Figure out your area of expertise, who are the people that you are meant to serve, and really put your stake in the ground. Commit to it. This will help you build your expertise, your authority in the marketplace, and become that sought after expert. Do not think you need to serve everyone. More is not a strong strategy. You actually want to get focused. You want to get specific. And that is where you're going to make more money for your business.
That is perfect. And what a great way to end it too. Thank you so much, Malika, for being here with me. It was spot on. And then you really shared some questions and some strategies that maybe they haven't been thinking about. Hopefully this is just what people needed to really hear. And if they have more questions, they can just reach out to you. So that's really fabulous. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Patty, for having me. It's so nice to talk to someone who also has a passion for niching. So it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And to my guests, thank you so much for being here with us today. I appreciate you showing up week after week and really being here with us. So I want to say, if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Right? We would really love it. Make sure you connect with Malika. And before I go, I have one more thank you. I want to take a moment to thank my sponsor, Meg Schmidt. She's the founder of Take the Leap Franchise Consulting Company. The franchise industry is booming as people look to diversify their income streams with essential businesses without having to quit their day job. To learn more and to schedule a call, go to megschmidt.com. The questions are free. The conversation is free, but the insights are priceless. So thank you so much for being here. I hope you all have a wonderful week, phenomenal day. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.